Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 497. Science Faction, your weekly corona update. The numbers are as follows for today, October 11th, 2020. Worldwide infected, 37.5 million. U.S. infected, 8 million. Worldwide deaths, 1.079 million. U.S. deaths, 220,000. Now, I should say that actually, U.S. health officials have come out and said the death count is realistically well over a quarter of a million, up above 250,000, because not everybody has been tested that died, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So they actually believe that number to be higher, as I've been telling you for a long time. And of course, obviously, the infected number is much higher, too, because not everybody is getting tested who's alive. So first, I want to start off with, this is a series of articles, and we're going to talk about, do we have this under control? Are we getting a handle on this? It's now 7.5 months in, at least since the first death, more like 8-9 months since we started, but have we finally started figuring this out? Have we gotten the death numbers down, et cetera, et cetera? Unfortunately, the answer is no, it's actually slipping away from us and getting worse. And I know that's got to be hard to hear. It might seem like I'm inflating the numbers or making it sound worse than it is. This is just the situation we're in, and this is very much a thing that is affecting the United States, India, and Brazil really badly right now, a little bit as Mexico as well, that the rest of the world seems to have kind of figured out, but we have not, especially the rest of the Western world. One Washington University researcher actually believes deaths will peak in January, which is terrifying because that would mean a steady uptake until then. Right now, hospitalizations and severe cases in the United States are both on the rise as we see this trickle-down effect, because what we saw about a month and a half to 2 months ago was a steady increase in young people testing positive as essentially people started to shun being indoors for so long and get together again and stop wearing masks as much. And we started seeing more and more young people testing positive. During the period of August 2nd to September 5th, weekly incidences of COVID-19 among persons between the ages of 18 to 22 rose by 55% in the U.S. Specifically high were areas in the Midwest and the Northeast, where it would go up like 150%. Now, there's a couple of reasons. That coincides with the beginning of a lot of school systems, which, as we talked about before, we kind of opened up without a whole lot of work and thought, at least for some places, and that led to a lot of young people getting infected. Now, we didn't see a jump in death numbers or hospitalizations, a significant one at least at that point, because again, these are young people, 18 to 22, it's very unlikely for them to show severe symptoms. However, what we are now seeing is an uptick in hospitalizations, severe cases, and deaths, not from those young people, but from all the people those young people infected. Basically, we mixed a whole bunch of college-age kids together in a soup we knew was infected, and then we served it to all of their families when they went back home or went to the store or did something else. And now we are seeing the consequences of that, because again, if you look at August to September, that means those kids usually were contracting it, getting more and more infectious, and then started spreading it, and then eventually, you know, maybe 1 to 2 people down the line got to an old person, and now we are starting seeing severe cases and death, which is right when we had expected, and it's starting to tick up. There's actually a few people who think that this might be the dreaded second wave, though I would still argue we've never actually got over the first. We were down to between 700 to 1,000 people a day. I don't think we got down off the first wave all the way yet, but this uptick does look like it might be the kind of the second wave, so to speak, or you call it the second peak. That overall peak might not reach its height until January, which is terrifying. This is really dependent in the next few weeks on social distancing and mask usage and all that kind of stuff, because however far we are into one of these, we could theoretically put an end to it if everybody just put a fucking mask on. We could take the worst uptick and the going up to the graph to approach some crazy number that's going to come in January, and we could put a stop to it tomorrow if everybody started practicing good mask wearing, good social distancing, you know, staying away from vulnerable populations, all that kind of stuff. But amazingly, in the U.S., despite having 220,000 people dead since 7.5 months, we are just not there yet. It's a little bit disheartening and perplexing. I got a brief moment of joy this week when the American football team, the Patriots, had to postpone a game. And now it looks like they're postponing another one because the star quarterback Cam Newton got COVID. And now it looks like some more people have COVID. And I thought to myself, well, yeah, America doesn't care about, you know, 220 or, as we discussed in the opening, maybe 250,000 dead people in 7.5 months. But goddamn, do we care about football? Like, maybe this will make us wear a mask so that we can keep that kickoff on time. But as kind of an overview, things unfortunately are not getting better. They're actually getting worse. And just as an anecdotal thing, just going around and where I am in Southern California, I'm seeing a lot of people without their masks on in public. A lot of people who are close to one another that are clearly, you know, I'm not talking about like people who are in the same household. I'm talking about two people coming up to a streetlight and standing next to each other as they wait to cross separate directions. There just seems to be this COVID fatigue. I am so tired of doing this. I want to be out with my friends. I don't like wearing this mask. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah. We get it. We all feel that same way. Nobody loves wearing a mask. Nobody loves not seeing people. Nobody loves not being able to make a living or having bad financial times, all that stuff. But you know what? Some of us think killing other people is still worse. All right, article number two, fuck your jacket. So it turns out COVID is killing more than just people. In a case of human to zoonotic transfer, so we've already seen that humans can infect dogs and cats and lions, though we have seen that the infections in those animals don't seem to cause a lot of problems. They just get infected and have a few symptoms, but nothing that seems that badly. However, starting in August, we started noticing a huge die-off of farmed mink populations in the state of Utah. In mid to late August, those die-offs were confirmed to be COVID-19. Basically, they caught it from a person and then it spread through their populations. That is really, really terrifying for a few reasons. One is obviously, you know, how could we live without mink coats? And if we destroy the captive mink population, what's going to happen next? People are going to have to wear nylon or something. But number two, whenever a disease transfers like that, like goes to another creature and then spreads around, especially creatures that are farmed, meaning they have a lot of contact with human beings, so it can always spread right back, there's a chance of mutation. And mutation is scary because, again, this thing is very contagious. If it was just a little bit more lethal, it could do even more damage than it's doing now. It could substantially kill a lot of people. What if it mutates? Similar to the 1918 flu. Remember, the 1918 flu started, you know, went around, killed some people, blah, 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 but didn't become this thing that killed young, healthy people until it went off to Europe, mutated somewhere, and made its way back. So, what if this mutates in such a way inside of mink populations or in the transfer from humans to mink or mink back to human? What if it mutates in such a way that it does become dangerous to younger people? Now, all of a sudden, holy shit, we got a really big problem, right? Like the sociopaths on your Facebook who are like, ah, fuck the old people, they have to start worrying about themselves now. Also, what if it mutates in such a way that it comes back and let's say it's just as deadly, but now all of a sudden people who had caught it before can catch it again and it's not going to respond to the vaccines we've been developing for the past 8 months? Like, holy shit, what if these minks just tweaked this virus enough that we can get affected again by it again and we have to restart this thing all over again? As of now, we've lost about 10,000 minks in Utah. And since August, we've noticed similar outbreaks in mink farms in both Wisconsin and Michigan, with 2,000 mink dying at just one farm in Wisconsin. Super crazy, because mink seem to be, for whatever reason, getting it much more serious than cats and dogs and lions and the other animals we talked about. That's interesting. I'd be very interested to know why that is. Another interesting side note, it seems to be affecting old minks more than young minks, as it does to human beings, which, you know, might be good because it means at least the young generation stays alive. But the bad side of that is it's essentially taken out 50% of the breeding colonies, because the young things are left standing, but all the ones that are a little bit older and used for breeding are getting taken out. So that might affect the ability to have younger minks for a certain amount of time. Very, very interesting. But also, fuck your mink coats. And lastly, an article I'd like to call Arizona, a case study in stupidity. So it turns out that masks and restrictions work, and America's redheaded stepchild of a state proves it. So this summer, mask mandates and closures led to a 75% drop in COVID cases in the state that's the proud home of the Mesa University Fighting Meth Moms. Go Arizona. For those of you guys who are outside of the US, Arizona is basically a vast landlocked desert occupied almost entirely by the elderly, the incredibly racist, hard drug using desert rats, and the whitest of white trash. It is the cheapest gas station bathroom of a state that we can offer. So the reason that they even had to start implementing mask mandates and restrictions about locations and gatherings and stuff is because they had to actually declare a state of public health emergency at the end of March. I'm going to quote here from the Live Science article on the subject. From April to mid-May, the seven-day average number of daily cases in Arizona loomed between 154 to 443. Again, this is early on. From April 29th to May 11th, Arizona started reopening businesses, stores, and restaurants using a phased approach and ended the stay-at-home order on May 15th. Great job, guys. Right in time for summer. On June 1st, the average number of daily cases was 808. By June 15th, it went to 2,000. That was basically because they didn't have a mask mandate at the time. They didn't have closures. They were like, get out and have fun. And again, America's El Camino of a state decided to jump in and say, si se pueda. To go back to the Live Science article, the average number of cases in the state peaked between June 29th and July 2nd, with 4,000 to almost 4,400 new daily cases, before finally decreasing by, and get this, 75% from mid-July to August 7th. Now, what's going on? You're basically seeing what happens when you have a laissez-faire attitude towards the disease. It sweeps through a population. Then, when you start instituting mask mandates and stay-at-home orders and no gatherings bigger than 50 people, all of a sudden, we start seeing a sharp decrease. 75% decrease. Think about that. That's insane. That means if you had 100 people getting sick, and presumably 100 people, let's just say you could apply this to dying as well, 100 people dying, you know, a couple weeks ago, now all of a sudden you're down to 25. That's an amazing improvement. If you were some kind of efficiency coach that was selling your services to corporate America, you would be hired by every single major company if you could give them a 75% decrease in their cost. If you think of costs as the lives we lose to this disease, a 75% decrease is insane. What magic could you have done to make that happen? You have saved so many lives just by doing... Oh, you just made them wear masks? That was it. You stopped concerts and made them wear masks. Okay, great. So this proves that even in a state where the state's official beverage is Mountain Dew, you can still make improvements with some outside forces coming in towards the people. You have to wear a mask when you go outside. We're no longer allowing these gatherings. All these people who are complaining about freedom, I want to flip the script on it. Next time you hear somebody talking about their freedom, ask them what part of their freedom they think they have to kill somebody else. Like, I have the freedom to swing my arms randomly. That does not give me the freedom to swing my arms randomly into your face. I have the freedom to walk outside. You do if you're not spreading a deadly disease. And if you are spreading a deadly disease, we should have the freedom to prosecute you for that. You should have some kind of civil or maybe even criminal liability for what's going on. And this idea that you have a freedom, a God-given freedom to spread disease, is nonsense. It is not only not true, it's never been true in this country. We have quarantined people for things before, from typhoid onto flus. We quarantine people. It's part of what happens. And when this disease spreads to groups of people and we can't tell because it's asymptomatic, well then, that's part of the quarantine too. And we know it works. Even when you get the cash me outside girl of states in this country. All right, guys, thank you so much for coming back for Science Faction 497, where you learned all about how the disease is trending in the United States, why maybe football can fix what 250,000 deaths couldn't, why your mink jacket might be a lot more expensive in the future, and how masks work, even if you're in the place where dreams go to die. Thank you so much for joining us, and come on back later this week for Science Faction 498.
You've been listening to Science Faction. Wait, that's not right.